Amen. We're so glad that you're here today. I'm excited because today we begin this, a new series called My Church Challenge. It's the challenge of stepping up into a place where God has called us, a place that where God is trying to take us, a place where we've never been before. But I believe that God has given us an opportunity today to move in a direction where we are fulfilling the great commission and the great gospel that God has given to all of this and to all of us. And I want to welcome you to our challenge today. I want you to turn again to that person next to you and say, I am glad that you're here. But you got to look at them and repeat these words. What, and I want you to say these, what we are going to experience together will change your life if you let it. Let me say that again. What we are going to experience together will change your life if you let it. Amen. What we're about to talk about is going to be life-changing. It's going to be destiny-directing. What we're about to talk about today is going to change the very course of your life in a direction where God can use you and he can sow seeds of blessing all around you. Today, we are moving into a new era of our church at Frontier Church. We're moving into an era in which it all begins with a challenge. Today, we're going to embark upon the My Church Challenge here at Frontier Church, and I'm excited that we're able to do this together as family. And I want you to write down what I believe is our takeaway for today. Would you write this down? This will be the thought I need you to walk away with. We are designed to do life together. Let me say that again. We are designed to do life together. You know, when we talk about doing life together, we hear that. It's a sometimes can be said in church a lot, and we hear it that we ought to do life together, we need to do life together, and we hear it, but sometimes we don't know exactly how to put feet to that idea, how to walk that out, how to arrive at the destiny of doing life together. And I get that. I understand that sometimes it's confusing, and sometimes we need someone who's clear on the way that we're going to go and how we're going to get there. And today, we're going to start off in the book of Acts. Chapter 2 is how we're going to start off this entire series and give down some foundation on how to get there. And I think it's important knowing how to get there. It reminds me of a story of a preacher, actually, that was just moved into a neighborhood. And he's trying to find where the post office is. And he's driving around the neighborhood trying to find a place to go. And he's absolutely lost. And so he sees this little boy walking down the street. So he pulls up to the next kid, next to the kid, and he said, hey, son, you got to help me. I'm new in this neighborhood. Could you tell me where the post office is? The little boy looks at him and goes, yeah, I can help you. You go down the road, and there's going to be a stop sign. Make a right at the stop sign. When you get to the street, make another left, and it'll be down the road on the right about a mile. He goes, man, thank you so much. He goes, oh, by the way, I'm a local preacher here, and I started a church, and I'd love to invite you to my church, and I can tell you how to get to heaven. The little boy looked at him and goes, I don't think so. You don't even know how to get to the post office. I'm here to tell you today I know how to get to the post office. But I also want to get you to a place, ladies and gentlemen, today. I want to get you someplace that you have never been before. Man, I am excited because I want to take you to a place that you probably don't know the surroundings, know the colors you're about to see, nor hear the wind that's about to blow, nor walk on the ground you're about to walk on. I want to take you to a place you have never been before. And that's what this challenge is going to be about, because what I'm taking you is going to help you reach your God-given potential. And how many want to reach their God-given potential? How many want to arrive at that destiny? Today, we're starting a venture together as a family. We're going to call it the My Church Challenge. You and me, we're walking on this thing together. We're going to go on this journey to discover why God brought us together. And the reason why I call it My Church Challenge, because my is a personal pronoun. It means you own it. It belongs to you. This church is yours. Do you realize that? You don't just come to a building. This church belongs to you. How many want to celebrate you belong to a family of believers and you can take ownership in that? That's what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, that this isn't just a building that you go to on Sundays. This is your church. This is the my church challenge, meaning I own what belongs to me. I own my purpose and my destiny. We are all brought to this location at 1335 Marshall Drive for a reason. Every one of you matter. Every one of you have been brought here because God has a special plan that only you being here can make it come to pass. That's the only way it'll work. And so today, I want to just inform you about the love that the Lord has for you. I want to lay down a foundation in the Word of God and from a scripture that will say to you that this isn't a mistake, you sitting in the chair today. There's no mistake, Jim Vachon, that you're in this church. No mistake at all. No mistake, John Bates, that God called you. Demeter, no mistake. No mistake at all. God has plans for everybody in here. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I want to particularly speak to a partial, we've got three rows here, three aisles in our church. And I believe this first verse is for this group right here. Amen. We got one person praising the Lord. Amen. One person. You can do it, girl. Do it. No. This verse right here is for this aisle right here. And I want you guys to read it because this, you own this. This is yours. Let's read it together. Let's go this row right here. Go. Stop. I what? He knows. In other words, before you even hit the planet, God already had a plan for you. Isn't that awesome? Now watch this. Ladies and gentlemen on this side of the jury, I want to say to you this, that there's a testimony when you praise God for somebody else, you get a double portion. Isn't it awesome that God already knows their plans? Let's read. It says what? For I. It came from the Lord's mouth that he has plans for everybody in this side. From his mouth to your ear, he's saying, I have a plan that God's, I don't care how tough it's gotten. I don't care about your finances. I don't care about your relationships breaking down. I don't care about what it looked like on the job. I've got a plan. Just sit back. There was an old TV show that used to come on called The A-Team. Anybody remember that team? You know, Hannibal and B.A. Baracus, I pity the fool. Remember that one? Who remembers that one? Well, listen, when the enemy comes against you, let me tell you what I think. I pity the fool that comes against your team. I'm telling you, God has a plan. There was a man on a team called Facey. He says, I love it when a what? Plan comes together. God has a plan for your life. Now, the second one is for this group right here. There we go. Somebody catching on right here. There's something in this next verse, and I want you to read what God has given you this morning. Read, watch this. Stop. In those days when the preacher prays. In those days when the superstar prays. In those days when the Holy One prays. He says, in those days when you pray. In other words, God said, I will God is waiting. Open your mouth and say something. Just God said for this middle aisle, I'm just waiting on you to release the word. If you just spit it out, I'll do it for you. Can we get a praise over here and over here for the middle group? God's waiting on you. Open your mouth. Just be bodacious, as my wife used to say. Audaciously bodacious. Just lose your mind in the request. God, I know this sounds crazy, but if you said I can do it, I'm going to open my mouth and declare the impossible. And watch God break loose. He said, open your mouth and I'll just sit back and listen. I got a testimony this week of a young lady came to me. She said, Pastor Steve, I remember the testimony you had. She said, I remember that testimony. You told me you were on your way to Jacksonville and you were trying to take somebody to an airport and your car broke down on the highway. The engine stopped running. Everything just shut off. Pistons broke in the engine. My wife was with me and one of my roommates. I got out of the car. Well, we weren't married at the time. She was my girlfriend at that time. And I got out of the car and I looked at the engine. I was just stupid enough to believe God could do anything. Anybody willing to just kind of go out on a limb on God? Amen? Because he says in those days, watch this, in those days when you pray, I will. And so I said, God, this car ain't working. I'm hearing water popping up, everything's broken, and the heater is up. I said, God, but here's all I know to do is this. I put one finger on the top of the cool part of the car, and I put my finger on the engine, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to start working in Jesus' name. My wife's looking at me crazy. So you better call AAA. How many know when you call God, you've already called AAA? I got in the car. I said, no, just trust me. And they're like, but I got to get to the airport. We're going to be there. I said, trust me. And they said, but the car broke down. The water coming out. Trust me. And we drove all the way to Jacksonville, dropped them off, made it on time, drove all the way back to my house, pulled up in my driveway, and the car broke all the way down. Boom. Never started again. Why? Because it was a miracle. And we had a member in our service said, you know, Pastor Steve, my washing machine literally broke down. It broke down in my house, and we were going to have to pay money to go get another one. Literally, the water was pouring out. The engine was smoking underneath. And she said, I had to wash clothes for my kids, and I had no other way to do it. And she said, I remembered, it came to my mind, your testimony. And so I walked over to the washing machine, and I put my finger on it. I said, I command you to work in Jesus' name. Amen. And she pressed that button, and that machine went to washing all the clothes and kept washing and washing and washing. I see some of y'all don't know what that means. When you got a whole bunch of kids, when you pray, I will. And then this one is for you guys over here. Y'all are going to love this one. I want y'all to read this. Read this. Come on. Come on. Read together. Go. Uh-huh. What? Oh, y'all don't sound like you really mean it. Say it again. No, that's just the word. Say the whole phrase. Uh-huh. What? God has promised you simply a truth. That I'm ready when you are. I love it, the conditional stuff. If all I need you to do is step out of your comfort zone. If you just do that, look for me. I won't be an intellectual pursuit anymore. I won't be one of many religions anymore. I become a reality. If you look for me, he has promised he's not going to always play Marco Polo with you. Hide and seek will be over. If you look for me, what? How many want to find God? Well, in this My Church Challenge, ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand something very clear. That My Church Challenge is all about owning the plans and the purposes of God for our lives. And the challenge today is that I'm going to challenge you with something that will push you beyond your envelope. The word challenge means simply this, a call to take part in a contest or competition. How many people are competitive people in here? How many? Okay. Don't ever play Monopoly with those people. Just want you to know. If there are so many people that are competitive in nature, and God says, you know what? There's something about competition that makes you rise to the occasion. Something about competition and challenges that make you become all that God called you to be. And I'm here to tell you that in the next 30 days, I am challenging you to enter this contest, which is going to deepen your faith in God, increase your walk with the Lord, open up your ears to hear God speaking, and encounter God like you have never encountered God before. Does anybody want to go on that journey with me? I want to take you on a competition and a journey over the next 30 days to discover what church can really be like. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do what the old church used to do back in the book of Acts, chapter 2. We're going to become the church that God wants us to be and walk in the spiritual depthness that God wants us to walk in. I learned a long time ago, challenges are good. Challenges make the best come out of us. You know, anybody ever been to Walt Disney? Anybody ever been down there to Walt Disney? No, that's it? Let me try that again. How many people been to Walt Disney? Okay, you are in Florida. You do realize that, right? Well, there was a story about Walt Disney and challenges that I thought was very pronounced. That he said this. He said he would come up with ideas and go into his board meeting. And he would sit down with his board meeting and he would lay out these incredible ideas that were just mind-boggling. And the board members were just impossible. And they would complain and grumble and they'd mumble and say, it's impossible. There's no way we can do it. And Walt Disney made this statement to a friend many years later. He says, I would never do an idea in which everybody in the table didn't challenge me. I would only do it if everybody challenged me. His friend asked him why. He says, because if they don't challenge me, it's probably not big enough. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm challenging you for something huge, something massive, something that's life-changing in your life. And I want to do that today. We're starting off, and I want you to write this down. I want to write this thought down about challenges. Write this down, please. Personal growth accelerates in challenging situations. When a person challenges your life, it's like your personal growth develops at an astronomical rate. And so today I want to give you a proof of that. You know, I was studying preparation for this, and I remember the story of John Wesley. How many people came from a Catholic background? Anybody came from a Catholic? How many came from Episcopalian background? Anybody? How many came from a holiness background? Anybody holiness? How about AME or Methodist background? Anybody? How many just came, you were a rank sinner from the start? Amen. Anybody? Just rank. Amen. That's most of us. Well, John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. And John Wesley was a man who most people know was a very, very determined individual. And they got a hold of his diary, and they began to tell a story about his a week of his life, like a 30-day window, like we're about to go into our challenge, a 30-day window of challenges. And I'm going to show you what happened to him and his results in his diary. This is actually taken out of his diary, John Wesley. Let me say, day one, Sunday, May 5th, in the morning, preached at St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday in the afternoon, May 5th, preached at St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday, May 12th, preached at St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday, May 19th, preached at St. Somebody's, and deacons called a special meeting and said, I couldn't return. I love this one. Sunday, May 19th, preached on the street. Kicked off the street. Sunday, May 26th, preached in a meadow. Chased out of a meadow as a bull was turned loose during the service. June 2nd, Sunday, preached out on the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday, in the afternoon, June 2nd, afternoon preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear me. 10,000. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you, if you can persevere through your challenges, the end result is amazing. And that's why God has introduced this thought to our church today at Frontier Church, that he's going to challenge you to do something you've never done before. And if you can persevere just long enough despite all of the frailties and all the letdowns and the sorrows and all the issues that may come up, if you could just hold on, God says, wait till the 10,000 blessings come in your life. Somebody say amen. I want you to understand that every Sunday during this series, I'm going to be issuing a challenge to you related on the five purposes of our church. I'm going to issue a challenge starting today. And your assignment, if you choose to accept it, is to do the challenge that I give you. Begin with the objective of the five-week teaching that I'm going to be doing on the My Church Challenge is this, that you just don't come to church, but you become the church. That you don't just come to church, but you become the church. A community of believers so powerful in God's word and so amazing in the spirit of the Lord that you're walking in the power of the gospel. And if you're ready to take a challenge, if you're ready to step out and just kind of audaciously throw caution to the wind, just raise your hand and say, I'm up for it. All right, let me try that again. Who's up for it? Just raise your hand and say, I'm up for it. All right, well, you committed to it. So here we go. Let's jump in the water and see what happens. Every one of our challenges is going to be related to the five purposes of our church. I want you to write them down. I'm going to share with you what they are. Okay, out of the five purposes of our church that are not, we want to have it forgive me, for those of you who are OCD, we wanted to move that to the left in order, but that's just me. Number one, A, we want to what? Cultivate authentic community. First thing we want to do, we want to learn about is to cultivate authentic community. Okay? B, we want to experience worship as a part of our daily lifestyle. I mean, not just because the music is playing, not because the worship team is awesome. And weren't the kids awesome today? I mean, they were amazing. But worship should be more than just the melody and music. Worship should be something that you produce. Even when there's no song playing in the darkest hour, you can still lift your hands and say, Lord, I believe. C, to take successive steps of our spiritual growth, to own our own development. D, to practice personal stewardship. And E, to reach out to the world around us. So these are the challenges that we're going to be mastering over the next 5 weeks. And the first I want to deal with, because this is one of the most important. It is by simply cultivating an authentic community. Now, this is one thing I learned about Acts chapter 2. When we go back to Acts chapter 2, they developed an authentic community. And I want to show you in the text how they gathered and how they did it. I want to get you to the post office. I want to get you to the place where you reach your destination. But we can only do that by looking through the Word of God. So if you would, go to Acts chapter 2 for me. Go to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Would you all read with me, please? Let's read. Say it again a little bit louder. Go. They devoted. Everybody say devoted. That means they were dogged. They were consistent. They did it on a consistent basis. The early church, in order to meet the challenge God was given to the early church, they were devoted to fellowship. They were constantly coming together and gathering like we are today, every Sunday. They were worshiping together, honoring one another. They were devoted to coming together in fellowship. And to see if this was something that continued through the early church, I want you to go down to verse 46. Verse 46, let's see what else they did. Let's read. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Let me tell you something. There is something about eating with friends. Amen? If you're not sure how that works, come over and cook for me, and I'll show you how good it is. There is something when you sit down and have a meal with people you feel safe around. There's nothing like that kind of fellowship. And what God was calling the early church to do wasn't to turn the world upside down. Do you understand that the first thing the early church did wasn't to go throughout all the world and kick down doors and tell people about Jesus? They learned to love each other in an authentic community. You know, love starts where? At home. And God said the greatest love you can show is to one another, that you will build an opportunity to gather together and have fellowship, eat together, have generosity among each other, and enjoy the joy of the Lord between each other. That was very important. They cultivated an authentic community. And authentic means simply no imitation. It's real. It's actual. And as a church at Frontier, I want us to be not a church, to be a building that we go to, but that we're a family that we belong to. I want you to understand that when you're in Frontier Church, you're not a place. This isn't a building. These are four walls. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your family. I want you to turn to your left, and if it's a girl, say, hey, sister. Turn to the other side. If it's a boy, say, hey, brother. Everybody looks different. Everyone sounds different, a little bit older, a little bit younger. Right? A little bit more fluffy, a little bit less fluffy, amen? But we're all family. We are, God is calling us as a church to belong one to another together. And what I need you to know that when you come together in an authentic community, not only are you know, but you're known. Not only do you love, but you are loved. Not only do you serve, but you are served. And when life comes your way, not only do you celebrate your life, but you're celebrated. People will rejoice with you. This week, we had an experience where we had a young lady this week who lost a mother and had to fly out of town. And you know what? Her Catalyst team gathered together and said, Pastor Steve, what can we do to help this person? We want to help them. And they sent flowers to that woman and to her family and began to pray for that person. Why? Because they learned to love and to be loved and to be in an authentic community together. But I need you to understand what it takes to have authentic community together. And I want you to write this down. How do we experience authentic community? How to experience authentic community. Here's how the first step. Number one, you make what? Number one, you have to make time for it. Anybody ever had a bad day? Anybody here ever had a bad day? Anybody ever had a bad week? Anybody ever had a bad year? For our ladies in the house, how many ever had a bad hair day? I didn't say hair. It's so bad it's hair. What happened to your hair? Yeah, it is a bad day. We've all had bad days in our life where things just didn't work out. And the story I want to share with you is about a guy who had such a bad day. It wasn't just a bad day. Man, his whole life seemed to be going down the drain. It went down fast. It's about David, little David. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6. And I want you to read with me what you see on the screen. Now, let me give you a backdrop to what's happening. In reality, what happened was little David was on a high point. He was sitting out in the field. He was comfortable with his life. He was okay. He was taking care of some sheep. And then all of a sudden, he's anointed to be king. He's brought out to a battlefield. And there's a dude on the other side of the mountain. He's 9 feet tall. And David is said, hey, listen, I'll take care of the guy. And he kills Goliath, the high point of his life. Everything was awesome. He was up on everybody's shoulders. He's waving his hand in the air. You got the slow motion going. Yay! And then everything went downhill from there. And I want to share with you that sometimes in our life, right when we think we've taken 5 steps forward, something happens and we go 10 steps back. But I want you to know God says there's an answer for trouble in our life. There's an answer and there's a stopping point for the trouble that we face. And there's an answer and solution for when we're struggling alone. And it's called authentic community. I want to read this to you. Would you read with me 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6? Would you read? Read. Now watch this. David is coming back from his victory in Israel, and he kills a Philistine, and the women in town come in, and they see King Saul, and they see little David, and they begin to sing with joy and tambourines and cymbals. It seems like it's the best day ever. And then verse 7 happens. They sing this song. Everyone read. He said, listen, Saul has killed his thousands and David his what? 10,000. Read the next verse. Read this. Watch what happens next. Isn't that messed up? When you are not in authentic community, the people will always take gossip about you. When you're not around people that love you, then the slightest negative thing they say about you, everyone, oh, he thinks he's all that. Oh, she thinks she all that. And all what happened was David thought he was in a family, an authentic community, people who loved him and they were happy at his success. But when you're not in that, people always want to criticize, even when you haven't done anything. Somebody else said it. And they began to persecute him. Look at verse 9. I love this. This is what happened to David. It all went down here. So from that time on, Saul kept a what? Jealous eye on David. Verse 10, The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a man. It just got worse. All David did was do what the Lord told him to do, and everyone was mad, and it seemed to get worse. Let me say this to you, please. Sometimes you may wonder why certain relationships in your life fall apart. And you may wonder why you poured so much into the relationship or poured so much into a person's life, and yet they just don't react the way you want them to. Sometimes God's moving you from false relationships to authentic ones. Because what you didn't realize is what happened to David. Watch this. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. In other words, behind closed doors, you don't hear what they're saying. But the Lord hears every word. Watch what happens next. David was playing on the harp, just happy to be in the house of the king. And as he did it each day, but Saul had a spear. That wasn't community. That wasn't all. Those were people who did not have David's best interest. But David didn't know. And verse 11, it all comes out. I love this. And he suddenly hurled it at David. If you ever have, anybody ever had a situation when a friend just flips on you just like that? Anybody ever had that happen? And you were there for them. You helped them. You loved on them. You cared for them. And they just flipped on you. Look at your neighbor and say, it was good that they went away. Hello, somebody. You know, listen, to me, they're like a bundle of fire. I'll stop, I'll drop them, and let them roll off. You know what I'm saying? I'll stop, drop, and let them roll. Because for me, the reality is that God was bringing something to light that I could not see. And here's David playing music for the king, and all of a sudden, the king hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David escaped twice. Let me tell you why David was able to escape out of his life. And this goes back to the whole concept of building authentic community. And it was this. David took time. Everybody say, take time. He took time to develop an authentic relationship. Let me show you. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3. About this time when all this was going on, he had an authentic friend in Jonathan. Now, Jonathan, if many people don't know, was Saul's son. He was the hereditary heir to the throne. Even though he was busy trying to be the king's son and doing all that the king did, he found time to build a relationship with David. And David, although he was over the king's army, found time to spend with Jonathan. And it paid off in the end. When all the other relationships fell apart, it paid off. I want you to look at verse 3. Then David took an oath before Jonathan and said, your father, he knows perfectly well about our friendship. So he has said to himself, I won't tell Jonathan. Why should I hurt him? But I swear to you, man, that I'm only a step away from death. I swear it by the Lord and by your own soul. He was saying, listen, I'm telling you, I'm not the man your dad says I am. And I need you to believe me. And this is the attitude of an authentic community, an authentic friend. Look at the word he says next. Verse 4, tell me what I can do to help you. That's when you know you got a friend. Despite the rumors, despite all of the things said and thrown at you, the person doesn't look at the problem. They look at you and say, how can I help? Literally, we had a lady that went in the hospital this weekend, and one after another, they had flowers and food, and everything went to the hospital because everyone said, how can I help out? What can I do to help you? That's when you have authentic community in a church. And I want you to understand God's challenging you to rise to that level. Now, here's something I want you to look at. Authentic people are people who will always tell you the truth. Look at verse 8. Let's all read together. Show me this loyalty as my sworn friend. For we have made a solemn pact before the Lord. Or kill me yourself if I have sinned against your father. But please don't betray me to him. He was what? Vulnerable. In authentic relationships, you have to be vulnerable. You've got to be willing to know that person has the power to hurt you or help you. But you got to open up before you can see what they have to offer. And that's what God's calling and challenging you as a church. Would you stop hiding behind your four walls and your one friend, and you don't build any more relationships, but there's people in this church that you need to know. Left side, I want you to wave to the ones on the right side. Would you wave? Find an eye and wave at them. Say, hey. All right, right side over here. I want you to find somebody over there and just wave your hand at them and say, hey. All in the middle, I just want you to wave at yourself and say, hey. Sometimes you got to love yourself. Amen. God is calling you to build relationships with other people, and you don't know them and they don't know you, but it's time for our church to rise to the destiny that God's called us, and we can't do it standing alone. We've got to stand together hand in hand as Frontier Church. And I'm calling you in every seat and every pew and every chair and every aisle and every suit and every pants and every clothes, that you would represent God well by learning to live in community with one with another. I'm going to show you what happens here. Look at this. He says in verse 9, this is a response from an authentic friend. Never, Jonathan exclaimed. You know that if I had the slightest notion my father was planning on killing you, I would tell you the truth. You need people in your life that love you. Here's our first week's challenge in the My Week Challenge. I need you to write this down. Our first week's challenge is this. I want you to commit to joining a Catalyst team, a class, or a ministry. I want you to commit to joining a Catalyst team, a class, or a ministry so that we could experience the power of authentic community. Now, let me say this to some of you, that if you do this, I want you to contribute to the group. I don't want you just to go and attend. Many of us can do that. It doesn't take any energy. But I want you to give something that's in you out to somebody else if you do this. I want you to be in an authentic group and you share. Maybe you're the kind of person that can come to the group and you can make phone calls for people who didn't show up. Or maybe you're the one that can make dessert. Maybe you're the one that can introduce an idea in a discussion in a group. But contribute to the group. And not only that, I want you to take a genuine interest in the lives of other people. Now, women groups, they don't usually have this problem. They learn to connect, but it's men that has the trouble relating one to another. So, brothers, I'm going to say this to you. Connect with a group of guys. Connect with somebody else. And you may not be able to talk on the phone like the ladies talk on the phone, but maybe you can think about that person and pray for them every morning. Maybe you can commit to the challenge of praying for another brother as he struggles for what he's going through, that you could commit to say, I'm going to give him a call and check on him every now and then, that you'll be that person. Now, let me say this. David understood what it meant to have authentic community, because after he ran from Saul, something began to happen. I want to read this to you as we try to head out, and I'm almost done. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, as I lay out the end of our challenge for today. Our challenge is to be in a small group, a class, or a ministry. I'm going to tell you why it's very important. After running from Saul, David ran into like-minded people. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 says this. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon, watch this, his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. There is something to be said. Watch this. When you're in authentic community, they don't wait for you to come to them. What? They come to you. Your real brothers. Listen, some of you have never experienced what it's like to have church family. To really know that you can relax and have people come to you and love on you. You've come to church and then you go home. You come to church and then you go home. You come to church and you go home. But what if you could just stay so that when you're in the middle of your cave's experience, they can come and they know, hey, we're so-and-so. We got to find them. And they come to where you are. I love this. Watch this. Look at verse 22. When the family came, verse 2, then others began to come. Men and women in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented, until David was the captain of over 400 men. People were coming because they had like-mindedness with David. Now, I said all that to bring this to your mind. David wrote a psalm that I think is incredible. I'm going to close with this psalm. It's Psalms 133. You needed to know this because this is leading into Psalms 133. And it's very important because you've got to understand what David understood, what it felt like to be in that cave alone and to see community come to him and people to come around him in the midst of his lowest point in his life. How would David identify what that felt like when he entered into that kind of authentic community? Let's go to Psalms 133, verse 1. Would you read, please? David said, how wonderful it's, I mean, it's more than I could talk, man. It's like a cool glass of lemonade on a hot summer day. It's like a nice slice of blueberry pie. It's like a cold glass of water on a very hot day. It is wonderful and pleasant for brothers to dwell together in what? Harmony. He said, it's wonderful. And why would he describe it that way? He begins to say that unity and brothers come together and community, authentic community, is like two amazing things. And he wants you to know what it's like if you will commit to the challenge of being in a group. Commit to the challenge, either starting the college team or being in the college team. He gives two illustrations. I want you to see, this is mind-boggling to me. Go down to verse 2, and we're going to find out about the first illustration, what it's like. Would you read, please? He said the harmony or unity or community is like anointing oil that poured down Aaron's head, down his beard, all the way down to the bottom of his robe. Now let me make it very clear what he meant, but what in the world is he talking about? Aaron was a high priest. David was a king. And they would only, watch this, this is how important it was. They would only select one high priest every year. One high priest in a lifetime, that is. In other words, you may have had one event in your lifetime where a high priest was selected. And what they would do, they would gather the entire nation of Israel together, and they would take the high priest and sit him in the middle. And then they would make these anointed oils out of all of these perfumes and all of these spices. And no one has ever smelled it before. It's a once-in-a-lifetime smell. And you're lucky if you ever had a chance to be a part of that experience, that you could see the high priest being anointed and you would smell the aroma. And he stood there and they would take this precious oil and they would pour it over the top of his head and it would run down his face, down into his beard, down his robe, and everyone would be in awe because if you're lucky, you got a chance to see this once in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, David described the opportunity of being a part of a community of believers as being able to see an event that only happens once in a lifetime. It is the anointing of the Lord coming down upon your life and seeing what a beautiful encounter you can have by being involved in an authentic community. That God says, listen, this doesn't come around often, but listen, if you would just plug in with the Catalyst team, it'll be so sweet to you. It'll be like being at that big event you've never, how many have ever been to a Super Bowl or a big football game? Anybody been to a big basketball game or a big sports event and you'll never forget it? Let me tell you what David says. It's like that. It's like the anointing of the oil running down, and describe that having friends and having authentic community is like a once-in-a-lifetime nationwide event. It's authentic. There's nothing like it. And there's an anointing that comes upon the group. David goes on to say this as I close. There's another illustration of what it's like to be a part of authentic community. I want you to turn to Psalms 133 and 2. And this time I want you to read it together. This is very important. Read it together nice and loud. Read. Even life everlasting. Let me say this to you. Why in the world would David talk about that community and being in a small group and being around brothers and people that love you? It's like watching a one-time nationwide event. It only comes once in a lifetime because it's precious. And then he says, the other way that it's like this. The dew from Mount, it's as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. Let me explain what he means here. In Israel, there is only one rainy season. One. And after that rainy season, everything goes dry. The plants go dry. The animals look for water. It's a very, very tough climate. But Mount Hermon is the tallest mountain in Israel. And it stands between Israel and the Mediterranean Sea. And when the water from the sea begins to splash and tries to cover and go over the top of the mountains, because it's so high, it captures the water and it begins to put it into streams down the side of the mountain place. What am I saying? Because Mount Hermon was able to capture the water, it brings refreshing to the water and to the plant, because otherwise it would have been a dry season, a dying scene. Plants were dying. Animals were dying. But because of Mount Hermon, it captured what was refreshing and refreshed the entire land. David says when you're in an authentic community, it's like this. When you find yourself in a dry place, that community wraps themselves around you, catches what's the best out of life, and refreshes your life like Mount Hermon. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you, David understood what Psalms 133 meant, that in order for you to be refreshed, you've got to let the water flow in your life. And the way that we do that is taking the My Church Challenge and plugging in with somebody else. Let me ask you a question as we're closing today. Have you ever been around somebody that's truly happy? And it just rubs off on you. Has that ever happened to you? You ever been around somebody that smiles all the time and you find yourself smiling? That's like the rivers and the dew from Mount Hermon. It rubs off on you. I want to encourage you to get plugged into a Catalyst team or a small group as we close today, that you might be a person who is refreshed by the power of the Lord. Would you stand to your feet?
Thank you for tuning in. I'm so glad you listened to the last message, and I hope it blessed your life. Listen, we would enjoy if you came out and participated with us every Sunday morning at 1335 Marshall Drive. We have services at 9 o'clock and 11, child care. It's awesome. Kids will love it. And if you can't make it on Sunday alone, or you like to make it on another night, on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we have Bible Encounter, in which we actually go into the Word, and you can ask questions and begin to grow as your family. Hey, I just want you to know we're so glad that you're tuning in and learning and growing. And as we always say here at Frontier Church, pursue purpose. We believe God's got some great things for you. Take care.